Hello and welcome to the Ice Guy. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp Inc., Wednesday, June 5th, and this is our Stanley Cup Final Series and Game 1 preview show, wrapped up into one. Ian Cameron and Alex B. Smith back with you. Matt Robinson will attempt to be joining us later in the show to give us his series and Game 1 bets and thoughts later on, and we are happy to have with us, to help us preview the series and Game 1, a special guest, former Edmonton Oiler, played a decade or so in the National Hockey League, and actually played for the Calgary Flames as well. In the latter few years, he played in the NHL, so he knows about the Battle of Alberta. He's been on both sides of that rivalry, and now he is joining us here on the Ice Guys show. Ladislav Schmid, our guest this afternoon. Ladislav, dobre odpoledne, good afternoon. Great to have you with us here.
Thanks, man. Very good. Very well. Wow,
isn't that good?
I haven't heard Czech language in a while. So yeah. Really good job.
That's my little Emily Kaplan routine. You know, we acknowledge the nationality of the person you're talking to. So
you're one of the very few. I very appreciate that.
There you go. Awesome stuff. A little Czech Republic for those of you out there. Let's just throw it out there too. We were talking about this before the show started. You're not a fan of this Czechia crap, are you?
No, it's I can swear here. Yeah, it's bullshit, man. Honestly, a couple years ago, my parents called me and was like, hey, laddie, just giving you heads up. We are changing our name to Czechia. I was like, what do you mean? It's like, yeah, the government decided to change it from Czech Republic. I'm like, that's insane. Like, how do you do that in 21st century? Like, you go centuries, you know, with the same name, and now changing it to Czechia because, you know, you're trying to, I don't know what it was supposed to do, but I know that people don't really are big fans of that. And certainly I'm not, because people tend to butcher the Czechia. It sounds like Chechnya, you know, like it's
right.
Czech Republic is a very traditional country. We are traditional people with a lot of traditions. So I'm an old school guy, and this I still can't wrap my head around it. So let's stick with Czech Republic, please.
All right. Well, that's good, because there's a lot of times where I think to myself, geez, the Czech government is going to come after me and get me and hang me if I keep calling them Czech Republic, because they want it to be Czechia. But now we've got Ladislav Schmid here saying, go with Czech Republic. I prefer it that way. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes and someone from your country, Ladislav. It's like turning Canada into Canadekia, you know, or something all of a sudden. It wouldn't sound right, no doubt. So, Ladislav, before we get into the Cup Final and series preview, obviously we got to talk a little bit about your career. It was a lengthy one. I mean, you started over in the under 20 leagues in the Czech Republic, and then you ended up, of course, coming to North America professionally in 2005, 2006. You were with the Portland Pirates that first year in the American Hockey League, 2005-2006. I bring that up because that was the year the Edmonton Oilers last went to the Stanley Cup Final, 2005-2006. So we'll start there. That was the year, of course, with that great Pekka team, and they got Chris Pronger in there. And remember Fernando Pisani and the amazing goal he scored against Kakalaki in the Stanley Cup Final. But you were basically a full-time Oiler the season after that. So you just narrowly missed being part of that Stanley Cup Final team, right, in 2006.
Yeah, well, it's sorry. Hey, babe, can you grab him, please? Sorry, guys.
Someone else wants to be.
My little guy just wants to be on the stream. But so like first of all, coming overseas. You know, like you mentioned, the first year for Portland Pirates, it was if I could change anything in my life, I would probably go play junior first in North America, because I had no idea. I was still living with my parents when I was 18. I was playing, you know, a pro league in Czech, but it's like just making that transition, all of a sudden moving out of the house, living on my own in different country. And guys, like, I had zero English. Like, I took English in school, but like, they don't teach you the useful English. It was like by the book. So I showed up and I could only hear my name and blah, 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 blah. And my name, blah, blah, blah. It was,
it's like Ladislav, words, 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 yeah. Words. Ladislav.
Not probably nothing flattering either. And yeah, so it was tough. It took me a few months to get used to it, but Kevin Dineen was my coach there, and he helped me big time. Some other guys on the team helped me big time, and I had a tutor. And it was really rough, but it taught me a lesson, you know, being independent. And you know, but like I said, if I could go back, I would probably ease into it through junior and stuff like that. But you know, that year was great. We went to the conference finals. We lost to Hershey, who ended up winning that year. And we had a great team, bunch of guys, more than half of the team probably played in the NHL later on. And then, you know, after a year, went back to Czech, preparing for next season, hopefully getting a chance with Anaheim. And I got a phone call from Brian Burke. And it's like, Laddie, we traded you. I remember I was at the bar at that time. I was pretty drunk too. And he calls me and is like, hey, Laddie, where are you? I'm like, well, it's like 2 a.m. in the morning. Where do you think I am? He's like, oh, okay, can you step out? I'm like, okay. So he gives me the news about me being, I told this story many times. He tells me that I've been traded for Chris Pronger. And then he's like, try to go on and who else, what other pieces are part of the trade. And I just walked back into to the bar. My buddy says, like, guess what? Like, turn down the music. I just got traded for Chris Pronger. And I can hear Brian Burke yelling. It's like, no, it's just not you. Just shut up. Shut up. There's more pieces to it. And I just went with it. And yeah, so got a good story out of it.
Burkey, no nonsense. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, fuck, you know what, Laddie? I'm just gonna call you in the morning. And yeah, so finished my night. He called me next day, and he gave me the breakdown of the trade. And you know, at first I was like, I was pretty nervous, right?
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of the Stanley Cup finals. I, you know, obviously Chris Pronger for me is one of the best defensemen ever in the NHL. And you know, he was one of the main reasons why Edmonton went that far. You know, I don't want to, you know, obviously Rowley had a great run and they had other pieces, you know, Becca. Like, it just, everything kind of fell into the place for them towards the end of the regular season and then in the playoffs. And, you know, everybody had a great, you know, Fernando Pisani scored like 14 goals, I'm pretty sure,
yep,
that, in the playoffs. So he had a great run. But yes, then, you know, I didn't even suit up for any NHL games. And before I knew it, I was already traded. But it kind of played in my favor. You know, I got a chance to play in the NHL next year, but obviously the team wasn't the same like before. You know, some guys, you
and
know,
you didn't just get a drink of water, a glass of water in the NHL that first season, 06-07, 77 games. Like, you made it out of training camp. You're there on the team, and you were there the whole season. And then it was off running with the Oilers from there.
Yeah, it was a tough year, to be honest. Like, we didn't win much, but great. Great learning experience, and right away I started to play with Steve Staios, and he kind of took me under his wing, and being around guys like him, and
from right here in the Hammer, Hamilton, Ontario, Steve.
Oh
Staios.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite teammates, man. Like he helped me big time. His whole family was very kind to me, and you know, then you have Jason Smith, you know, Gator, like one of the toughest guys I ever play with. You know, that's. Just
Chris Tanev clone. That's what he is. Chris Tanev clone.
Yeah. Man, like he was so tough. And when I first walked in the locker room, like I was intimidated by him. He got that like look, almost like a crazy look. And you don't know what he's thinking, but I love a guy again. And then Ethan Morrow and later on Sheldon Surrey, like kind of old school guys. You know, I was very fortunate to be surrounded by them. Obviously, my countryman and Alex Hemsky, and you know, Sean Horkoff was there. Like, hello, like, we had a great group of guys, you know, and then later on we started adding, you know, Sam Gagne and Andrew Cogliano, you know, the younger generation. But I was very, very lucky to be surrounded by the old school guys, and I was able to learn from them what it is, you know, to what it takes kind of to be a true professional. Because up until then, I kind of thought I was working hard, you know, like, but then you go on ice with them, and the way they prepare themselves, the way they train, practice, it's like everything was like a game. And it took me, again, a few months, maybe even a couple
years.
Showed
you how to be a pro. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's a big thing. But again, you're young, stupid, you know, you kind of take things for granted. Oh, I made the NHL. Well, it's one thing to make the NHL, but to stick in it, that's a whole different ballgame, right? Like, you just don't want to be the one-off. And, you know, I had a decent career. Too bad my body couldn't handle it better. But, yeah, like I said, I have no regrets. I, you know, I wasn't the most talented guy, but I always gave my all on the ice.
Yeah, no doubt. You were reliable in your own end. That was a big part of your game. You played a physical component, and we're going to show a little bit of that, by the way, in just a moment. But there's no doubt you had a well-rounded game. You were ready to do the little things, you know, that help a team win. That was a good thing. And, you know, you got – you're right. When you first joined the NHL, some players don't realize that they think they get there, and it's like, work's done now. I'm here. Look out. The gravy train is on the way. They don't always realize I got to keep fucking working and trying to get better. And because I know there's going to be someone that's going to try to take my job if I don't try to improve and fine tune and get better in other areas and facets of my game. And that's probably something you realized right away, that I just got to keep working if I'm going to stay.
Well, the thing was, like, I was drafted very high, like 9th overall, but playing my whole life in Czech, it's totally different hockey, man. Like, you have so much more room and time, and just different. Yeah. And when I first, you know, joined the NHL, like, I thought I could do the same thing, right? Like, just carry the puck and tons of time, and all of a sudden you're in the NHL, the guys are like 10 times better than, you know, what I was used to. And no disrespect to the players in Europe, but it's just, it is true. It's the best league in the world. And, you know, first year I was like, okay, maybe I can do it. Second year, we signed a bunch of more defensemen, and it got more competitive. So, and I was like, well, I'm not going to be on a power play. I'm not going to be put in no situation. I have to change something in my game. And, you know, a lot of players won't do it. Lot of them. I know that, you know, they don't change who they are just because of to stay on the team or stay in the league. I did it. It wasn't easy. I just had to look in the mirror, and I'm like, well, it's not happening for me offensively. So I have to bring something else to this team.
Yeah.
And I did. You know, I took a lot of pride in killing penalties. I, you know, I'm from Czech Republic. There's zero fighting. Now a little bit more, but there was zero fighting. And I learned, you know, like, I was a bigger guy. So, like, well, I have to protect my teammates or, like, stand up for somebody or whatever. So, you know, I might have to drop the mitts and then take a lot of pride, you know, taking defensive faceoffs, playing against, you know, some second lines that, you know, you're not gonna see much of the offensive zone, but it's, you know, almost as important to shut them down. So I took a lot of pride in that. It's not the sexiest job for some, but like I said, I'm proud of what I did. And, you know, I just wish I would have a little longer career, but, you know, I like I said, like, I don't have many regrets, and like, I just took a lot of pride. I know some guys, like, it's all about points. And when I talk to my sons, like, hey, you didn't have many points. I'm like, well, there's, you know, like,
more to hockey than points there, laddie. Or that's what you got, son. You got to tell him that. Yeah.
He knows. And you know what? He's turning out to be similar to me. He doesn't care much anymore about points. And it's more about, like, defensive play. Like, he's got these, like, because I'm very.
You know what you have to tell your kid? You know what you have to tell him? You know, the kid, the players that only care about points in the NHL, you know what they're doing right now? They're sitting at home with their thumb up their ass. You know, that's what you tell them. Yep.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, like I am big on details, and my son is only 9 years old. But the details he has, like defensively, like a good stay, good body position, it's almost comical to me, because there's kids just running around and like looping. He's not the best skater, but the one thing he's got, like, he's got a good awareness. Like, he's usually in a good position because we talk about it a lot. So he's got these like little defensive details, and he takes a lot of pride of defending and not allowing any goals. And then on the other side, he's the most penalized player on our team, or maybe in the league, because whenever somebody touches the goalie, it's a high cross check onto the hat, and then he follows with some piss. It's crazy, but he reminds me so much of me. It's crazy.
No, that's amazing. It's like chip off the old block. Yeah, Alex, go ahead. Anything you want to add?
Oh, no. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, to learn those details that young is a good thing, because, like I said, we're watching guys in the NHL now who don't have the best defensive awareness at times. So to learn those little details now is truly invaluable. But, yeah, and I was going to say, just how is that to transferring from being a player and then kind of, you know, almost like, you know, having kids and kind of like being a coach or mentor to your sons and stuff, like to have that kind of parallel, like just kind of talk about that too, how this just kind of like, you know, sitting down and watching the games with your kids. I'm sure it's different than just for us as fans sitting with our parents or whatever, watching the game. So yeah, it's kind of talk about that a little bit.
At first it was super hard. Like, I'm very intense person. My wife is right here, and it's probably understatement. She's just looking at me. So I'm like, I still get into it. But over the last 2 years, I've learned to be a little bit more patient, which is big word for me. Patience was never my strong suit. But I have to be. If I want to be ever a good coach, I have to be more understanding. Like, the generation now, you have to coach, even in Czech, like, from national team or world juniors and stuff, they all told me the same thing. It's more about psychology now than about coaching. Like, you have to have the right approach, because you have 10 kids and they are 10 different people, right? And you cannot be screaming at, you know, it might work with some to be a little harder on them, but it doesn't work on the other. Like, I'm still learning that. And you know, when you're playing the game, you're always in the game. You don't think about the outside. Now I'm on the outside looking in. So I'm paying attention of little different areas of the game. Yeah. But when it comes to my son's game, like, I am totally different when I coach different teams, when my son is not on the team. But when he's on, when I'm coach, I'm also coaching his team. And it's just, there is something in me when he does something stupid or like takes stupid penalty. I remember playing in a finals at West Edmonton Mall. It was like a big thing for my son. He couldn't even sleep the night before. I'm like, Larry, listen to me. You took so many stupid penalties this year. Tomorrow is a finals. You cannot take any more stupid penalties. Of course, we are down to like last 3 minutes of the game. We are up by two. He takes the dumbest penalty. And the whole place just goes quiet, and I'm like screaming from the bench, Larry, are you fucking kidding me?
And I don't care for my kids, they hear it in a big way.
Yeah. Oh man, like, everybody's just like all eyes on me, and then I'm like, I fucking told you not to do this. And then I can hear my wife, my ex-wife, sitting there, and they're like, Larry, calm down. I was like, shut up. I was just like going into like this mental state. I was like, of course my son does that really, but I'm trying to get rid of these like crazy spurs, but it's hard when it comes to my son. I don't want to be like my dad, because my dad was similar, but it's so hard. Like, it is so hard. But I can separate my son's team from the other teams. Like, there, like, yes, I'm intense. Especially when it comes to refereeing, because to be honest, there's not too many good referees. But I'm learning, and big thing is patience. Be calm, because when I was a player and there was a coach behind me who would be like pacing and like yelling, you feed off that. And then you are aggravated more. You don't focus on hockey, you know, shit like that. So I'm trying to be calm. Yeah, once in a while I yell something, but in between the shifts, I believe the coach should be pretty calm. And like what are you gonna change in the middle of the game? If you're gonna yell at players, you're only gonna make them feel worse. There's no fixing.
You're gonna do what a million other fucking coaches do. You put the lines in a blender, you change the D pairs, and you just cross your fingers and hope it works. Yeah.
Yeah. In my opinion, there's no need screaming like on the bench or even between the periods. Yeah. If the team's like fucking playing like dog shit, yeah, sure. Lay into them. But individually calling somebody out, I was never a big fan of that. And I'm trying not to do that. And if I have a problem with somebody, I pull them aside after the game and I talk to them. It's never during the game, or it's more like being like supportive and like being there for them. Because I've been there, and if I had a bad game and the coach was on me, I would be worse. And then it's like, Then it transfers to the next game and next game, and next thing you know, you have a fucking shitty week, month, and you know, you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. So, yeah, I'm taking all these experiences from the past, from the different coaching approaches, and like I'm trying to do what worked best for me. But I think everybody talks about this younger generation as being soft. Yeah, it's, you know, It's not an old school approach like it used to be. Like I was raised very old school by my dad. And you can just imagine, guys. There was like verbal abuse, physical abuse at times, but it may be who I am. And you know, I love my dad, but it was different. Not nearly as much of that today. Hey, like my dad, I told this story too. My dad, when I was this was like I'm 10 years old, we are playing game and I get slashed. I throw my gloves and he's like, I'm on the ice, like fucking I don't even know why I threw the gloves, but whatever. Pain? Took me off the ice. I finished the period. He whistles in between the periods, brings me to the boards, and he's like, "Are you missing a fucking arm?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "Next time you fucking pull this shit, I will rip it off, and you're gonna be missing fucking arm. I don't ever want to see you lying on the fucking ice. If you're lying on the ice, there better be an ambulance."
That's what it was like 2-3 decades ago. Like, that's a sign of weakness, and you're showing the other team it's a sign of weakness when someone's just prone on the ice like that. Yeah.
So I had that imprinted in my head all the time moving forward. So whenever I was down, I was down. Like, but if I could skate off the ice, I had to, because that voice in my head, my dad was like, "Fuck, you better be dead if you're lying on the ice." That's my dad's approach. And then he would also like give me a thumbs up or thumbs down in between the shifts, guys. So I would have a good shift and he would whistle, get my attention, and give like this one or this one. If it was this one, I was done for the whole period, because I knew he was choked. Like, he would be all over me. And yeah, that was like a lot of kind of like a silent treatment rides home and stuff like that. But, you know, he was hard. So what I'm trying to say, like, I'm trying to learn from those experiences. Like I said, I love my dad. I love him, you know, like part, you know, I made it that far partially because of him, but I know this kind of approach won't work on my son or this next generation. They need a little bit more loving and different approach, but I am glad I experienced that, so I know what's kind of right and what's wrong.
Yeah, no, it's right. And sometimes it's that tough love type of scenario that you often get from your parents, and that's sometimes a good thing. You know, it makes you tougher, makes you stronger, makes your will, you know, that much harder and better, you know, as time goes on, no doubt. I want to ask quickly about Calgary, and then we'll go to the highlight. Well, then we'll go to the vault, show a couple Ladislav Schmid highlights from his career in just a moment. But the Calgary years, so you spent like probably 7 full seasons with Edmonton, and then you got traded the 8th season. Yeah, it was to Calgary. And you know what's funny about the trade to Calgary, the arch rival, of course, is that guess who came the other way? Someone that's still playing in the league, Laurent Brossoit.
Rossois, yeah, I know. He's from Edmonton, actually, right?
Yeah.
And it was crazy getting traded. I remember I'm in Philadelphia in the lobby, and Mac T calls me and is like, "Hey, Larry, we traded you." And then I'm like, "Okay." I don't want to say I was totally surprised. My agent kind of gave me a heads up that they might be shopping me. But what followed next was the shocking part. We traded you. I was like, "Where to?" It's like, "Yeah, you got to be close to your home." I'm like, "What do you mean close to my home?" He's like, "We traded you to Calgary." I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" I was like, I was speechless. I was speechless. I like, honestly, like I love Calgary, like the city and all of that. But like when I got traded, it was, I only had hate at that time for Calgary. You know, like we played so many games back in the day. Like we played so many games against them, exhibition, the regular season. It was crazy. And it was like still kind of old school hockey. A lot of fights, a lot of chirping.
And it's in your DNA to fucking hate the Calgary Flames for all those years you were in Edmonton.
Yes. It was in my head. And now I'm joining them. And yeah, like I couldn't believe it. I know Steve Smith, like when I saw him in an elevator, he's like, "What's wrong? Like, you don't look very well." I was like, "Well, Steve, I just got traded." Mac D just was like, "Well, where? Calgary." And he couldn't believe I got traded to Calgary. He's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah, really. This kind of sucks." But you know, it's part of the business. I had a couple of days to kind of like wrap my head around it. And then Steve Staios calls me, and he got traded there before me from Edmonton to Calgary. And he's like, "You know, Lavi, it seems tough right now, but you know, it's great. It's a great organization. It is what it is. You just have to, you know, kind of get used to it. It's part of the business." And yeah, it was. I'm not gonna lie, it was awkward when I first walk into the locker room and seeing all the guys from the Flames, right? Like Giordano, I fought him, and I tripped most of the guys, and they didn't like me very much either. So I'm not gonna say it was all, you know, roses and butterflies. It took probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Time has to heal the wounds when you first enter that dressing room in Calgary, right?
Yeah, but then they see on the ice that you're trying, and you give your best shot, and there for teammates, and you're hopefully a decent guy, and kind of I built some good friendships there, and had a great time in Calgary, even though I mostly was injured, but I have some good memories. My twins were born in Calgary, and I'm still in contact with some of the guys, and yeah. So it worked out well, but initially, guys, not gonna lie, it wasn't good. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I'll tell you what, you had a really long career. You had the 7 years in Edmonton. You had three more in Calgary, and I'm pretty sure I think the one playoff year was in Calgary for you, right?
Yeah, but I was injured again too, so it kind of sucks. But yeah, it is what it is.
Gaudreau was on that team, I remember. Johnny Gaudreau, yeah. Sean Monahan, Sam Bennett. Who's still going, of course, Florida, was the Stanley Cup final. Yeah.
Yeah, Benny, like, I'm very proud of him, the way he plays. Like, I know a lot of people don't like the way he plays, but, he's a very important piece for Florida, especially in the playoffs. You know, people say he plays dirty, but in my opinion, I don't think he's out there to, like, try to kill people, but he just plays that old school hockey, and that's another guy kind of changing. You know, he was fourth overall, right? Like, so everybody's like, "Oh, he's going to make 100 points and blah, blah, blah." But he kind of changed his game, and he's like all-around player now, centerman. Yes. And he can be tough. He can, you know, he still has that high-end skill. He touches all different kinds of areas of the ice, and I like it. I like it. I'm very proud of him. I remember him as an 18-year-old, and I honestly – I probably think that if Calgary Flames could change what they did with him, they would probably give him a little bit more time than forcing him to play at 18, 19 years old.
They did put him in there right away as opposed to letting him develop. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I would probably let him develop, but it is what it is. It worked out well for him. He's, with Florida now going to the finals, it doesn't get much better than that.
No doubt. So after Calgary, you went back to Europe to your home country, of course, Czech Republic, Liberec, for a few seasons there. And then after that, you said, now's the time, right? You felt at the time it was time to call it a career after the 2022 season that you played there.
It was time to be closer to my kids. You know, they weren't able to travel as much because they went to school for grade one. And I miss them like crazy, and seeing them starting in sports and other activities and not being there. And, you know, like I said, and it was COVID years, right? There was a stretch that I didn't see them for almost 7 months. I was going crazy and I couldn't travel out of the country too. So it really sucked. So that was kind of like the last straw. I'm like, and every time whenever they travel to Czech for like a month, and then when they were leaving, the scenes at the airport, like I was devastated for like a week. Like the coach knew right away. It's like, holy shit, Larry's family, Larry's kids are leaving. It's going to be tough. And I was fucking grumpy, guys. I wasn't the best teammate. Like I didn't want to be around anybody. And I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, yeah, hockey is great. Like I played my whole life, but there's so much more than hockey to life. And, you know, those kids needed me. So, like I said, it was the easy decision to quit. What followed after was a little more challenging because you're trying to figure out where you fit in, you know, in the regular life. But, you know, I have a supportive wife, and, you know, it just seems it's much easier when you have like everybody around you, being with kids more, my wife. And, you know, so I'm still trying to figure out, but it's much easier when surrounded by family.
Absolutely. And of course, now you're calling Edmonton home there in Alberta, and you're taking your kids to Oilers games now at Rogers Place. And I know you're planning on being in the building for game three of the Stanley Cup final next Thursday. So great to be there, certainly at this time. And we'll get into the Stanley Cup final in just a moment. But before we wrap up the Ladislav Schmid career talk, we do have to go to the highlight reel. First time guests that are players, we got to go to the highlight reel. We've picked out one fight and one goal for Schmid.
There's not too many goals, so you should be short.
I found one, though. I found one. Hey, they don't ask how, they ask how many. I mean, is it a Picasso? Is it a beauty? Is it an end-to-end rush, and you went top corner? The goal that we picked? No. But at the end of the day, it's still a goal that goes on the ledger for you. The National Hockey League, and that's what matters. But we'll start with the fight. This was Phoenix. That's right. They were still called the Phoenix Coyotes back then. What a memory, man. What a fucking memory. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. Indeed. This is January 2009. This is Phoenix and Edmonton, and this is Daniel Carcillo of the Phoenix Coyotes at the time. Taking on Ladislav Schmid. Here it is. Roll that highlight film, as Rick Jenneret would say.
Coming in, he's got 2 points tonight, including his 11th.
In the camera.
Sean Horkoff and Lubomir Vishnevsky, and we've got a battle as Ladislav Schmid has dropped the gloves.
That ref should get at least twice the size of both of them.
Oh, that's Mike Civic as Carcillo fights for the 13th time this year. He was described as a Wolverine, and Schmid is going toe-to-toe with him. Oh, there's a great shot by the right hand of Ladislav Schmid. Now some shots to the back of the head as Carcillo gets in tight. Schmid makes him pay. Close quarters for Ladislav Schmid, that Daniel Carcillo is a veteran of the pugilistic variety. And now it's all over.
There it is. Not bad. Not cool bad. Days. You fell down and you got back up again. Dad taught you well.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, eh? It was him in my head. Yeah. No, there's nothing beats that rush when you go for a fight. And back, like, you could take off the bucket too, right? Back in the day. And I always did, because they call me European pussy all the time. You're wearing a fucking visor. I'm like, fuck you guys. I'm going to take it off every time. Yeah. So I did.
There's some real fucking tough European hockey players.
Really? Yeah. Right, yeah.
Stigma's got to end when it
comes. Oh, for sure, man. And, you know, like, I hated when the other guys would, like, cut their hands off my visor. So I'd rather take it off. Sometimes you couldn't because you were right in the middle of it right away. But like if I had time and it was like, you know, challenging somebody, I would take my bucket off.
Yeah, that was a good fight. I'll say this too, and another example of it. The guy that's out in L.A., I think he's gradually rising up the ranks of the fighting, you know, in terms of good fighters in the league. And that's Andreas Englund out there in L.A. And he's Swedish. You can't tell me that guy isn't tough.
He is tough. Yeah. But like always, like when I joined the league, like everybody was like, well, Euros, you're soft and like blah, blah, blah. I fucking hated that. As soon as somebody called me Euro pussy, I was like, fucking let's go. Unless it would be like fucking somebody.
That's the thing that sets you off. Yeah.
Those heavyweights, they were respectful, you know, like those guys. You were aware of them. And unless you did something stupid, you didn't have to worry about them. And I kind of liked it. They were, I feel like back in the day, there was way more respect on the ice because you always had to, you know, if you, like I said, if you did something stupid, they made you pay for it. And that's how it should be. And now these days, there is nobody really holds, you know, players accountable. And you have a bunch of rats running around doing dirty shit and nobody like grabs them. Back in the day, you did something stupid and it didn't matter. You were big, small. They grab you, pound the shit out of you, and you knew better next time. And I love that approach.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that is definitely missed in today's game. Yeah. For sure.
Definitely sure. Is. Now we go from the pugilistic side of Ladislav Šmíd to the offensive side. That's right. Ladislav Šmíd still thinks I had that in me. Well, you did hear. This was a game against Vancouver, 2013. Ladislav Šmíd jumping in, finding the opening in the offensive zone, ripping a puck past, I believe it was Corey Schneider was the goalie this game for the Vancouver Canucks. So here it is.
Petrell. Watched by Tanev.
Yeah.
Now to Brown in the corner. Albert has him tied up. Petrell gets it back to the point. Petrie with room. Plays it over to Šmíd. Top of the circle with a shot. Scores!
Whoa. For that, eh? On the ice, probably. he wanted that one back for sure.
Picking up where they left off last game. Great energy. Great puck movement. See the Oilers. Šmíd finds a way to get off to the side of the board. Petrie hit him a fake shot there, and Šmíd finds an alley right here.
And with right through him.
Right through him.
Good screen.
Good screen. Smitty, of course, Smitty was like right there.
He got pulled. I just heard Kelly Rudy on the broadcast, and now we're going to see Roberto Luongo in net. There you go. You got him chased, man.
I got him kicked. I got him kicked. It's like if Šmíd scoring on us, guys, we need to change something.
If that guy's ripping one past my goalie, we got to do something. We got to fix this shit.
Let's search them up.
Yeah. That's good. Did you remember that one, or was that just?
Yeah, you know what? When as soon as the clip started to play, I do remember that one. Yeah, great job by Jeff Petrie, kind of luring everybody to him and then making that DDD pass start with him.
Drew the coverage all to him, and then you had just all kinds of time and space, no question, to just rip it home. So there you go, a little Ladislav Šmíd highlight reel here on the Ice Guys show. All right. I know a lot of you have been waiting for this. Time to get down to business. We're going to talk Stanley Cup Final, the series, and Game 1. We're going to start with the series. The Florida Panthers hosting the Edmonton Oilers. Of course, the Panthers have home ice advantage here in the Stanley Cup Final. Florida is currently a minus 135 series favorite here. Edmonton plus 115 series price underdog. So you guys know where I stand. I had Dallas. And I had Florida coming into these playoffs as my futures bets. Thousands of dollars coming my way if one of them wins the Stanley Cup. I've seen Edmonton pick off one of my teams, the Dallas Stars. I am not in a rush to see them do the same shit to the Florida Panthers here in the Stanley Cup Final. But the way I saw Edmonton close that series, I mean, you can call me Ian Pussy all you want for doing this. I don't mind. You can throw that at me. But, you know, I've always often said hedging is for gardeners, not for sports bettors. But I'm going to jump on a little Edmonton plus 115 because I feel it's It's a series that they can win. Edmonton, will they win? Is another story, but this is a series they can win because they have the best player currently, arguably in the world. I'd say he is still Connor McDavid, especially the way he's played in the playoffs. That goal he scored in game six against Dallas was incredible. Made Miro Heiskanen look stupid. I mean, really, and that's hard to do. Miro Heiskanen's an incredible defenseman, and somehow Connor McDavid just made him look foolish, you know, on that power play goal. There's no question about that. But he was obviously tremendous in game six in the closeout game. The penalty kill cannot be stopped right now for Edmonton. They've killed off, what, 28 straight power plays of the opposition. All of that, and Skinner, Stuart Skinner, the way he's been playing in net, getting better and better, and Chris Knobloch's pushing all the right buttons, sitting down Skinner in the two games in Vancouver, putting him back in game six against the Canucks. And since that time, he's been like, what, a 1-point-something goals against and .930 save percentage goalie. Like, he's been just tremendous from that time. And he's pushed all the right – he made the lineup changes, putting Perry and McLeod in during the Dallas series, taking Fogle out, putting Broberg in. No one's talking about that. Philip Broberg going in on the blue line for Edmonton in that Dallas series, and he played absolutely outstanding. In that the few games he got in. So, you know, when I look at this series, there's pathways for Edmonton to win when they're getting the goaltending from Skinner, when the penalty kill's this good, the power play started to heat up and really chop, slice and dice Dallas's penalty kill at the end of that series. What if that gets going? What if Florida gets undisciplined because they push the line and they cross the line, which sometimes Florida can do? There's definitely pathways for Edmonton to win this series. But for me, I said in January when Florida went on that epic run, if they play this way, I don't see anybody beating them. And to be quite honest, if I see the way the Panthers have played in the first three rounds, Tampa, Boston, and the Rangers, if they just maintain that level and don't dip at all, I think they're going to be tough to beat for as good as Edmonton is. So I am still going to pick Florida to win the Cup final. But for financial purposes, because there's a lot of money coming my way, if Florida wins the Cup, I'm going to take a little Edmonton here, you know, to try to lock in some kind of profit here with this situation for me. But I am officially picking Florida, though, still to win the Stanley Cup. Florida, I will say it's going to be a good long series, though. I'll say Florida in, I don't know if they'll win it. I'll go the distance with Florida in seven. I will. In this year, because I respect Edmonton and I respect McDavid enough, especially, and the penalty kill that they've had, to say that they are at the very least going to push the Florida Panthers in this series. That's what I'll go with officially here. Panthers in seven. Alex, just overall series. I'm not playing many series props. I'm not betting many series props because I got the Florida futures. I'm not really going with. Six and seven game. I will sprinkle on the 6-7, 4-2, 4-3 stuff, you know, that we have talked about, because I do think it's a longer series, but that's really it. You know, there's no reason for me to bet Florida. I've got them to win the Stanley Cup. The only thing I bet is Edmonton +115 to hedge a little bit of that Florida investment. So that's really it. And other than that, for me, I will take a little piece of the series to go 6-7 and both teams to win at 4-2 or 4-3, which both of us have done, especially Alex, throughout the course of the playoffs. But Alex, we'll turn to you. Just overall, Stanley Cup final series thoughts.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. Like I said, obviously we've been, you know, talking about this in different places for the last few days, and the conclusion I've come up with is that, okay, obviously we know Edmonton's main style is to be offensive, offense-heavy, offense-first with McDavid, Draisaitl, and all the supporting cast they have. That's really what kind of draws that team. And that's how Florida used to play. You know, think about before Paul Maurice got there. This was a freewheeling, you know, score seven goals and pray that you know, let in six or fewer kind of a team. Now you have an adaptable Florida team where if Edmonton wants to make this a boat race, they got to deal with Florida's offense and deal with their pace and deal with how physical they are, especially in the neutral zone. But if this is what we've been seeing for the most, and what we traditionally see in the playoffs and in the Cup final, a you know, lockdown defensive battle, I think the edge still goes to Florida, because you got these blue liners for the last 2 years, they've been playing just completely out of their mind. You know, Gustav Forsling coming out of virtually nowhere to be, you know, arguably now one of the top 20 defensemen in the league. I think we could easily say that he's in that category now. To you know, supplanting you know Aaron Ekblad was such a fixture with that team for so long, but obviously with you know the miles in his body and the injuries and stuff, to have another defenseman come through like Forsling now is massive. You got Brandon Montour, who's another solid defensive player. So you have all these blue liners that are playing in front of Sergei Bobrovsky, who's playing the best goaltending in the last year and a half we've seen in his entire career. That's a huge edge. And I know Stuart Skinner's been playing lights out lately. Like I said, you know, good job by Knobloch to sit him down in the Vancouver series, bring him back, and he's been red hot. But now with having these days off, and just we know the media crush of the Stanley Cup final in itself is big, but obviously it's 1,000 times bigger for Edmonton. They're Canada's team. Connor McDavid's the best player in the world, and now he's finally in a cup final. Leon Draisaitl's finally in a cup final. You have all these extra surrounding circumstances with Edmonton, where Florida, 54 weeks ago, they were right here doing the same thing, and now they get to kind of learn from their mistakes that they may have made. You know, in last year's Cup final, things that they felt they didn't do right. You know, all even down to the point of Barkov not touching the Prince of Wales Trophy this year when he did it last year. Everything now is different. You have a whole new, clean, fresh slate. But for Edmonton, this is still kind of a it's something fresh. It's something new for them, but in a different way. Where how much time do you really have to absorb it? And I think also it maybe even been better if they could have gone right into playing games. Having the few days off and not having to travel and everybody making the big deal about the distance of travel between Edmonton and Florida. I think all of that could really start to just, play into everything else with the Oilers, because now you have to win it, right? You're here. If you're going to be, we're going to call Connor McDavid the best player in the world and put this Hall of Fame potential legacy on his plate, he has to win a Stanley Cup. He has to do this right now. And so that's a hell of a lot of pressure to have. On top of the fact that you just playing your best hockey, trying to win a championship, it seems to be potentially insurmountable for Edmonton at this point. And that's why I do like Florida here. I have Florida to win in 5 and Florida to win in 6 games. I don't have the 6-game, 7-game stack. I don't think it goes that far. And I think especially if we see where the rust has built up in these last few days with Skinner and with the defense for Edmonton, that's not going to be good. If they can't keep up with the speed of Florida early, and that's the biggest thing, that speed and physicality, this series could get out of hand. And that's why I think in 5-6 games, it would not shock me one bit. Florida dominates at home, find a way to get one on the road, and end up winning the Stanley Cup. So I like the Florida Panthers between 5 or 6 games. And I also have a bet tied to the series end game 1. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
All right, there we go. And that's another thing and I'll mention this more when we talk about game 1 in a few minutes specifically, but this is the longest travel in terms of miles or kilometers, really, between the two cities and the two teams in Stanley Cup final history. The furthest distance between two cities in NHL history for a Stanley Cup final, Edmonton and Florida. And again, Edmonton's the one that's got to make the travel this time around for game 1. So does that hurt them? And another thing too to factor in, and I'll talk about this more in game 1, Florida only game 1 loss was when they had the long layoff after Tampa, and Boston's running on fumes after beating Toronto in game 7 on adrenaline, and they were in rhythm and they just rolled right into a nice game 1, and Florida was not at all good. Their A game. You could tell that the layoff hurt them. Here, the layoff, it's a wash. Both teams are on a layoff. Edmonton and Florida coming into game 1. And you've got the fact that Edmonton went into the Dallas series with momentum because they finished Vancouver in game 7. They didn't have any layoff. They rolled right in. They were in rhythm. Dallas was not. And now this time, though, it's even playing field. They've got the layoff, too, much like Florida, and that long-ass travel to Florida for game 1.
And when you look at it, Florida already wrapped up a series in 5. You wrapped up series early. So you've had those days off where it seems with Edmonton, like I said, everything's been kind of a crush. And that momentum, sometimes that's a good thing for you. But then once you kind of put the brakes on it a little bit, then it's kind of hard to get that momentum going back.
Yep, no doubt. All right, we'll bring Ladislav Schmid in here. Look, I fully do not expect you to pick against the beloved Edmonton Oilers, but give me your thoughts here on the series overall.
For me, it starts 0-0. It's 50-50, but valid points, guys. Great points from both of you. Obviously, Florida I think if it wouldn't be for Shesterkin, that series against Rangers could have been very ugly. To be honest, for me, Shesterkin was the best player so far in the playoffs, like almost by a mile. He could have taken that team to the finals just based on his performance, which we haven't seen in a while, just from one player. Like that's how good, in my opinion, Shesterkin was. And everybody was like, well, Rangers are not playing good, this and that. Well, how about you give some credit to Florida Panthers, who were all over them all the time, paddled all the way down, fucking foot on the gas the entire time. They didn't give them any room. They were super aggressive on the forecheck, great through the neutral zone, you know, and then when they needed a save, Bobrovsky has been playing really good. And again, I think because Shesterkin has been so lights out, nobody really talked about Bobrovsky, but Bobrovsky has been so fucking solid, guys.
Steady.
So, yeah. Steady. Yeah, like he makes some big saves. So that being said, like Florida is a great team. They went to the finals. They know what it takes last year, right? They still probably have some of them in the hats, like how much it hurts, so they don't want to experience it again. But guys, watching Edmonton this year, it's not just about Draisaitl and McDavid anymore. This team is so much more. Yeah, it used to be just those two guys, but now we have other guys who are stepping up. Yep. Big time. Nuge, he has been around for a long time. He wants to win it in this town. Evan Bouchard, guys, like,
yep.
In my opinion, like, he has been the best offensive defenseman in these playoffs. He just produces an unbelievable rate. But and everybody talks about him on the power play. It's even 5-on-5. His ability to read the play and extending plays on the blue line, how calm he is.
Keeping pucks in the rush. Yep.
Yeah. That's why Draisaitl and McDavid are usually pair up with him on the blue line, because he just allows them to do the stuff they can, and nobody really talks about it that much. Then you have Ekholm. Yeah. I would say Florida's defense is a little bit deeper than ours. I'm not going to lie, but the way that the entire team has been able to buy into their system right now, that's what's kind of like intriguing for me. That's why, like, honestly, I think it's 50-50. I would pick Edmonton in 7 games. But when they were on Edmonton, when they're on, which, again, that's a big if, because there have been some inconsistencies throughout these playoffs. And thank God Chris Knobloch was able to pin them down. Yeah. And, like, everybody is like, what is he doing? Why is he taking the goalie out? Why is he taking this guy out? Everything
I couldn't understand how he took Fogle out, and yet now he looks like a genius because all those moves work. Perry and McLeod were great. Yeah.
Well, he took Desharnais and I out, and I don't think Desharnais has been bad. And he put Broberg, and it's not easy position. But all these switch-ups, they pan out, and it seems like whatever he does, it works. Thank God. But I think the special teams are going to be huge in this series, because, like, some of the games, if it's going to be close, like, I hope Oilers can still be really dominant in penalty kill. Again, that's another area, like, I've been watching it closely. Everybody's on the same page. They're aggressive. They don't give up much. And then on the other hand, it seems like their power play started to get going again. And that's just scary, right? Yep. They can score 2-3 goals, like, just like that. And I watched the best penalty kills this year going against them. It's just, in my opinion, that has to be one of the best power plays in the history of hockey, because the way they're trying to pick apart other teams is just, and not just other teams, just the best players in the world from the other teams, is incredible. Like, you mentioned the goal McDavid scored. Like, if I'm Heiskanen and I'm defending, I am not thinking that he's going to go through three guys and he's just going to penetrate the middle. Like, they did good job. They stay close. They kept him on the outside. And all of a sudden, because it's McDavid, he's just going to try it. And he just goes And I know Heiskanen
on that goal, Ladislav, how would you say with that goal? Would you, you'd probably say give Connor McDavid more of the credit and praise him for that goal than say negative stuff about Miro Heiskanen. Yeah.
Yeah, like Heiskanen didn't expect it at all. And to be honest, if I'm on the ice, I wouldn't either. Not too many guys are gonna go on a power play. You know, you see four guys in the middle protecting the middle, you have a little bit of space. You don't expect the guy to just go through. But fuck, nothing surprises me anymore with McDavid. And so if it's not like they take one or two games with a poor power play, but they're able to, I don't know, they go probably through the video and what the other team is doing. And then they go for a game three and four and they're able to change things up. They have so many options that it's crazy. They switch on the goal. Like usually Draisaitl stays in the same spot, but McDavid is kind of a rover. And then Nuge goes through and Hyman. They have so many options. Thank God I'm out of the league, honestly. Because this kind of reminds me like when we play against Vancouver and Sedins were playing. They had so many options. It was stupid. And I had nightmares about it. Always like going on a power play and Sedins are doing their thing. But this is Sedin's on steroids. This is like crazy next level. You have, in my opinion, two best.
I remember the year they had Anson Carter, who's now on TNT with the Sedins, and that was a line, and that was a great line. And Anson Carter couldn't be stopped. He was scoring goals left and right playing with those two guys. Yep.
Well, whoever you put there, it worked. Kessler, Burrows, they all worked, right? Like it is what it is. But the power play, I think special teams are going to be huge. Then I like the way that McDavid and Draisaitl are split, right? You have now two really dangerous lines, and then obviously you put them together on the power play. And if you need it within the game, you put them together. But I like them separate because now Florida really have to decide like who they're gonna put Barkov against, right? Like Barkov again, another guy I forgot to mention. Like that guy.
That's why you don't put McDavid and Draisaitl together if you're Chris Knobloch. Exactly, right? You make Paul Maurice and Florida think to themselves, who does Barkov play against? You know,
I think I would probably put him against McDavid, to be honest.
Yeah.
You have to. They're just the whole line with Nuchin and Hyman is they're really good. Like again, any of them can score. Nothing to take away from Draisaitl, you know. But overall, McDavid's line, I'd say it's a bit better. But Draisaitl, man, holy shit, that guy is just a beast in the playoffs. Like he's like a man. You know, everybody talks about McDavid. Yeah, he does, you know, a lot of good stuff, high end skill stuff. But when you look at Draisaitl, especially in the playoffs, the way he plays both sides of the puck, sometimes in the regular season he gets away from it. Yeah. You know, it's a regular season, but now he's a beast. He's probably my favorite player on the on the team besides Eggholm. You know, he's kind of my guy, but I love watching Draisaitl, especially in the playoffs. He's just a big dude, super skilled. He can play how, you know, like he slows the game down or he can pump it up. Like it's just incredible to watch. Like we are so spoiled here in Edmonton. I don't think the fans realize what we have here. Watching McDavid, Draisaitl, now Bouchard is coming to his own. You know, the way he plays on the blue line, it's special. And the lastly, comment on, you know, the goalie. Like Stu has been really good last few games. Yep. But that being said, like makes me a little bit nervous because he had those ups and downs in previous playoff matchups. So
and Ladislav, he was in great rhythm from game six against Vancouver. Game six, game seven, you roll right into the Dallas series because you started just 2 days later, right? And you played great in that Dallas. And now you're cooling your fucking heels for a week for this thing to start. And that's a worry for me, too. Yeah.
That's the worry. But, man, did he ever steal the game against Dallas the last game? We had 10 shots.
Best I've ever seen him play, probably.
Yeah, that was his best game I've ever seen him. But that gives me that hope he can do it. And you're going to need a goalie to steal a game here or there. And it's either going to be like Bobrovsky or him, but you need it. You're not going to play perfect game every single game. And those games are close. And, you know, if Skinner wouldn't be in that game six, we would be playing game seven because that Dallas was dominating. And yeah, everybody can say, well, we didn't. I heard some of the press conference interviews and some guys were like, well, we didn't give up much. Yes, kind of guys, not huge, but there were like five-star chances right in the kitchen and that he made like ridiculous saves. And he was calm and gives you the confidence to play in front of him.
Dallas
and
had looks, tons of looks. They had tons looks. Of good chances, yes.
They had looks. And for me, like Dallas, yeah, like I wouldn't bet against Oilers because I know how good can they be. But Dallas made me nervous right off the bat. From the round one, I was watching. I'm like, holy shit! If we want to be in the finals, we're gonna have to beat Dallas because, in my opinion, they were the deepest team. But then when we played them, it felt like they were a little bit tired. I think their defense had to be tired because they were playing 27, 28 minutes, some of them, and they really play only four defensemen, which I think caught up to them a little bit. And the other thing was like I
would have played four defensemen if I'm Dallas too after the way, and I'll get to that with Ryan Suter, man, in a second.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it was rough. Like, you know, he's not the way he was a few years ago, right? Like he's getting older, and yeah, you know, playoffs, different hockey, physical and fast. But what surprised me a little bit, I thought that Dallas would play us. Or play the Oilers a little bit more physical, and which never happens. So I'm wondering how it's going to be against Florida, because obviously everybody knows. And I'm a big fan of old school hockey. Not saying that I'm a fan of Florida. Still cheering for my boys. But Florida, they play the right way. And I said it again, like I have a radio co-host, a radio show here, and I say right off the bat, you can just tell since the round one, the way Florida plays, every single shift they want it. And I don't know how else to explain it, but they're just so hungry. They're on the pucks hunting. You just have that feel they want it really bad. Like since the round one, that's I've been saying it. And watching them against Rangers, just I was like, holy shit, this team is on. I hope they're going to cool off a little bit in this little period of time and not going to have that good of a rhythm, but yeah, they're a good team. I'm still going to go with the Oilers, but guys, like Florida, it's no joke. It's going to be a tough series, and I'm very excited for it.
No doubt. It's going to be a great series. So officially on the record there, Ladislav Schmid with Edmonton in seven for him for the Stanley Cup final. Florida in five or six for Alex, and Florida in seven for me. So we're all over the map here with this one. Just quickly, I do because I wanted to say a brief thing about Dallas Edmonton that game. And like I said, Skinner was the difference. It was 35-10 the shots. Dallas had so many chances they couldn't convert. And really, here's the difference in the series: Skinner outplayed Ottinger. There's nothing else to say about it. And I love Ottinger; we all do. But he was outplayed in that series by Skinner, and the special teams was the difference. Oh. Edmonton's penalty kill. Dallas was powerless against it. 0-14 on the power play in the series. That can't happen. Edmonton's penalty kill was great. And for much of that series, Dallas's penalty kill was very good too. But unfortunately, game four, game five, game six, Edmonton got the power play going. And Dallas couldn't stop it all of a sudden. And the special teams, just Edmonton owning the special teams in that series was a big difference. Unfortunate ending for Dallas because they went through a gauntlet in the playoffs. Vegas, champions last year. Colorado, champions 2 years ago, and then to lose to Edmonton, whether you want to say they ran out of gas a little bit, I think there's some truth to that, but more so it's just they ran up against an Edmonton team that their special teams and their goaltender as that series went on was great, and there was just not enough offense from the Dallas Stars later in that series. It's remarkable that since being up 2-0 in game four, when Dallas was up 2-1 in the series, they were outscored 10-2 the rest of the series by the Edmonton Oilers. So disappointing end to a season where Dallas thought they could go all the way and win a Stanley Cup this year. You could see the disappointment, Sagan, Jamie Benn, you know, in their discussion after. And now it looks like we're going to say goodbye to Joe Pavelski, who has probably played his final NHL game What an incredible career he had. Mr. Playoffs. He always brought his best in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think he is up there as far as American-born goal scorers are concerned. I think he's second and third all-time in points and goals with the San Jose Sharks. So just an outstanding career for Joe, and a great man too, Joe Pavelski, when it's all said and done. But for Dallas, I'll just leave it at this. If my off-season to-do list, if you're going to try to run this back and get back to the conference finals, if not get to a Stanley Cup final, because it's not going to be easy. You know, you get this close 2 years in a row, bounced in the conference final. It's not easy to do it again the next year, but here's what you need to do. Number one, Ryan Suter, see you later, man. There's the door. That's enough. You know, and look, thank you for your service. You've had an outstanding career. No question about that, but it's time to go. It just is. And I don't, if you got to eat the contract, if you got to just, you know, whatever you have to do, he cannot be one of your six on the blue line next year for the Dallas Stars. Not when you got still Nils Lundqvist, when you've got this Leon Bixell kid who's probably ready to come up and be part of this blue line. The mistake he made when Edmonton was up 1-0 in game six to take that penalty, turn it over in the neutral zone, let a defenseman in Cody Ceci get behind you, and you have to hook and take a penalty. And sure enough, Hyman scores on that power play to make it 2-0. That can't happen. You're already struggling. You're already up against it scoring goals. You got a red-hot goaltender at the other end. Edmonton's power play is piping hot all of a sudden, and you're going to take that penalty down 1-0. It's just bad mistake, bad turnover in the neutral zone. And at that point, I'm like, my gosh, Ryan Suter, man, what the fuck were you thinking, man, doing that at that time of the game? And that 2-0 goal really hurt. Of course it did. It ended up being the game and series winner for the Edmonton Oilers in game six. So, yeah, that's he's had a great run, but it can't be with Dallas next year. And there's talk maybe it might be it for him, but he cannot be on this team next year. Simple as that, Suter. The other thing is, can you get Tanev back? Can you re-sign Chris Tanev? There's mutual interest. Dallas wants him back. It sounded like Chris Tanev is very much interested in leaving the door open to return to the Dallas Stars next year. You win cups with Warriors like that, so you definitely try to bring him back. And then the third thing is, continue to infuse this roster with the youth, you know, mixed in with Ben and Sagan and Duchesne and some of the veterans that you, Haskinen's now a veteran, you know, continue to mix in your Wyatt Johnstons and your Logan Stankovens. And now you've got Maverick Bork, who I think is going to be a full-time Dallas Stars player next year. You continue to build this because they've drafted extremely well, this group. Jim Nill and his management group team have done an outstanding job drafting. You continue to mix in the youth, and these are very high ceiling players. And I think if you do all those three things I just said, see you later, Suter, try to get Tanev back, and then continue to mix in these young prospects in the lineup with the veterans, and I think Dallas could have another great season next year, even though you know it's difficult to get back there, and other teams are going to get better in the Western Conference. But I wouldn't sell Dallas short. I'm seeing nonsense out there that their window is closed. Who said their window is closed? To me, that's nuts to say that. Is it going to be tough to get back there? Of course. You know, it's not easy to get to a conference final third year in a row, it would be, and everyone else is getting better. But the window's not closed on this team, not in my opinion. Alex, just before we get to game one, just some thoughts on Dallas as their season ends.
Yeah, the window isn't closed, but it damn sure ain't wide open. Definitely got to say that. I mean, like I said, you know, now you're going to have these changes. You're going to bring these younger players in. And, you know, everybody's not going to gel in this lineup the way that Wyatt Johnston did or Logan Stakeover did. You know, Maverick Bork's probably going to take a little bit of time in seasoning. Some of these other guys are going to take time in seasoning. And you don't really have that luxury when you have a Colorado team that you know is going to bring everybody back, and they're not really going to be making a whole lot of changes. Winnipeg may not be as much of a threat to you this year like last year. And you got other teams that are on the rise in that division and certainly in the conference as well. And the biggest thing, I think, you know, it'll be a question, especially depending on how he, you know, starts at the beginning of the year, of course. And we talk about how good of a goaltender Jake Ottinger is, but he will be an RFA at the end of next season. Yeah. And so you got to make a decision on there. Is he going to be your guy that gets you to the promised land, or do you sell high and maybe make some kind of a move and change and get another goalie there? You know, there's talks in New York about Igor Shesterkin wanting $12 million a year, and they may not be able to pay him that. maybe we see a little bit of a goalie swap coming around.
I know you insinuated that yesterday.
Wouldn't shock me one bit, because who else can you trade those two guys for, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to bundle a bunch of shit to get Shesterkin out of New York unless you bring another top tier goalie. So it's just something to think about, food for thought. But Dallas, like I said, hell of a run this season. Very disappointing finish, though. You can't have a game where you're getting, you're out shooting a team 35-10 and you lose. Like, you just can't have that in the playoffs. You can't have that in the regular season, in my opinion. You certainly cannot finish. Afford to have that in the playoffs. Like I said, they just completely ran out of gas. I've been waiting for days now to hear that, maybe there was some injury with Ottinger and some of these other guys. But maybe, like I said, they're just fatigued. They just ran out of steam. And that happens. There's not much you can do when that happens. If you've given it your all and your all's not enough, then that's just the way that the cookie crumbles in that spot. So, good run for Dallas, but like you said, they will have some things they have to kind of shore up and deal with. And if they're not winning right away in October, November, you don't hit the panic button and say, "Oh, we're going to retool." But you will have some questions on your hands if this Dallas team is not, they're not a top five team in the West next year. Or even heading into March, they will have some questions that they'll have to address at that point, and there might be some big changes, potentially made to make sure that they don't have to start talking about rebuilding 4 or 5 years from now. You retool now so that you can continue this run of success and try to be dominant in the West, and hopefully try to get that elusive cup at some point.
No doubt. Before we get to game one, I do want to bring up, let me see if I can make this bigger here. We're going to need to. Nobody can see that. There we go. This is most goals in the series. Props. The one that stands out to me here is Sam Bennett, someone that was with Ladislav Schmid in Calgary many years ago. 33-1 at Bet365. Shop around, you might get other prices. He is red hot going into this final. Like he's scoring goals. He's scoring goals in different ways. Yeah. He's scoring goals, as far as in front of the net. He had a great wrist shot from the faceoff circle in game 6 against the Rangers on Saturday night to finish that series. I know you could bet Verhaeghe and Tkachuk and obviously Connor McDavid and up at the top of the board, Hyman plus 350, Sammy Reinhart plus 375, Draisaitl plus 450. Hyman obviously could easily be a leading goal scorer in the most goals in the series, but I think there's real value with Sam Bennett, in that range, 30-35-1. I just wanted to mention that with that. And then as far as Conn Smythe goes, Conn Smythe Trophy, again, we're down to two teams now, so you wonder where, is there any value left with anybody? We have Connor McDavid plus 190, the favorite to win the Conn Smythe Trophy. Alexander Barkov plus 375. Sergei Bobrovsky. You know what's disappointing, you guys, about TNT not having the final? We've been robbed of Charles not being unable to hear Charles Barkley say Sergei Bobrovka. pronouncing Sergei Bobrovsky. That's how he called it a couple of years ago. Sergei Bobrovka.
Oh, my gosh.
We would have heard that if TNT had the NHL Stanley Cup final instead of ESPN. But Tkachuk plus 600, Leon Draisaitl plus 700, Bouchard plus 800. I'm telling you what, there are some shots here. Look, it's a wing and a prayer. If Edmonton wins, McDavid could easily win it. If Florida wins the cup, Barkov and Bobrovsky could easily win it. But I see Reinhart, Hyman, Forsling, and Bennett all with great value. What if they have a great series? Zach Hyman's already had a great playoffs for the Edmonton Oilers. You're telling me 33-1 for him to win the Conn Smythe is crazy? Is not crazy, I should say. I think 33-1, there's value there for him. Sam Reinhart, we know how red hot he can get. And the offensive season he had, 50-1. Gustav Forsling, I think they're asleep at the wheel with that price on him, with the way he's played from start to finish in these playoffs a little bit. Bennett's a little reach, I get it, 100-1. But like I said, I think those four in particular for the Conn Smythe, Hyman 33, Reinhart 50, Forsling 65, Bennett 100, couple bucks. Not crazy, because look, if Edmonton wins, who's getting it? Likely McDavid. Who's getting it if Florida wins? I'd say, even though I think Forsling, Bennett, and Reinhardt have value, Barkov and Bobrovsky and even Tkachuk, you could say, are likely candidates. But I don't think it's nuts, put it that way, to even just put a couple bucks on those four that I mentioned. Alex, what do you think of that?
I mean, I know, and we love, obviously, bargain shopping on this program, but I think this is not the market where you bargain shop. in my opinion. And that's, it's always been where I look at the top four, top five picks. And you have to understand that with the Conn Smythe Trophy, there's a little bit of popularity involved in that. Like, yeah. If you're, if you think Edmonton wins the cup, it's Connor McDavid's trophy, period. Yeah. Point blank.
Now, I agree with that. That's why.
Maybe Draisaitl. I can see that too, guys.
You think so? He'd have to have a big series. He'd have to dominate the series. Not saying that he couldn't do that.
Yeah,
but if that's what's going to lead me to my next point with Florida. You look at Bobrovsky is the favorite. Well, no, actually, was it Barkov was a favorite? Barkov and then Bobrovsky and then Tkachuk and Verhaeghe. Those are your top four. Well, Tkachuk and Barkov and Verhaeghe, there's only 2 points separating those three guys. If those guys all stay within the same kind of cluster of points, and especially if this is a short series, 4 games, 5 games, what's going to stand out? It's going to stand out that Sergei Bobrovsky was playing well the entire time. So Bobrovsky is the guy you have to go with just out of the value, because the forwards will end up cannibalizing themselves in this aspect. So plus 400 for Bobrovsky or plus 200 for McDavid. Those are the only two shots I would take with the Conn Smythe.
Yeah, you're right. Especially for a goalie, if it's a short series, goalie is likely going to be stealing games, and you know, and he has been playing well too. Yeah, and you're right. Like if Oilers gonna win, it's likely McDavid.
Jesus, McDizzle, exactly. Yeah, for Shizzle, McDizzle. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You get, that's the whole point. I mean, that's the thing, right? That goes back to what we're talking about with Edmonton and the pressure that's really on them.
Yeah.
But if you win this, you got to have the cameras on McDavid the whole time. You're going to have McDavid holding the Conn Smythe Trophy. You're going to have McDavid receiving the Stanley Cup. Like, that's – the league wants that, right? Like, they're not going to openly say that. No one's openly saying that. They're not giving it to Edmonton. But the league obviously would want its best player to win its championship. That's in any sport.
So, fuck, I want it. Like promote hockey, guys. Promote hockey. It goes around the world, too. It's not just here.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. They're trying to finally have him. So, fucking fingers crossed, boys. I know you're Florida all the way, but
in the sports betting space, Ladislav Schmid, that's why in the sports betting space, we can't have everybody agree, because then everybody would be on the same side. There'd be no betting market or sports books out there. Everyone agreed.
Fair. Yep. It's fair.
100%. All right. Let's turn to game one. Specifically, okay, this is on Saturday night. It's game one. It's Edmonton, Florida. It's pretty much the same price as the series price. Florida minus 135, home favorites in game one. Edmonton plus 115, road underdogs in game one. Total 5.5, slightly shaded to the over. I've talked a lot about the series itself. All I'll say here is for game one, I do favor Florida. I think it's an opportunity for them to take the lead in the series. I think Edmonton could bounce back and win game two, but I think game one is kind of a little bit of a superior spot for Florida, where they've had zero travel. They've had all week to relax, heal the bumps and bruises, practice extensively all week, not travel. Edmonton's got to do that first long ass flight from the longest distance traveled in a Stanley Cup final, and the rhythm thrown off a bit because they went right from Vancouver to Dallas, rode the wave, the adrenaline. We're in rhythm, playing every other day, and now for the first time in what, weeks, Edmonton is out of rhythm and not playing every other day, and I think that does benefit Florida a little bit in game one. So in game one, I do like Florida here, minus a 135. There we go, our Panthers sound. Florida Panthers minus 135. And look, the way the series could go from a totals perspective is fascinating, because we know Edmonton found their defense and their goaltending, and their penalty kill has been unbeatable, impenetrable so far. And Florida can defend, and Bobrovsky can play at a high level. It makes you think we'll see some unders, and I'm sure we will in this series. But this is game one. This is a long layoff. Let me ask our resident NHL defenseman. Long layoff, Ladislav Schmid. Our theory has been more goals, higher scoring games. When there's been a long layoff, there's more sloppiness with the puck, more giveaways, more turnovers. Hockey is a game of mistakes. And when you make mistakes, that's when the goals happen. Our theory usually is that the longer the layoff, more high-scoring games, breakdowns defensively. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that, but there's two sides of it. I also believe when you're getting tired, when the series is going longer and longer, that's when you likely make more mistakes as well, because your brain is dead and you usually, you know, your recovery time is not the same like it's in the regular season when you have 2-3 days between the games. But that being said, I agree with you guys. Longer layer, you know, when you don't play in like a week or 8 days, getting back into it, I can imagine, or been there, that it's harder. You're typically not as dialed in right away, which is kind of stupid to say when you're thinking about every game matters and this is a Stanley Cup Finals, but it is what it is. I hope both sides will be, but yes, there is probably something to it that where guys are, you know, it takes some players to one or two games to get into it, which I hope this, like I said, it's not going to be the case. It's Stanley Cup Finals. Like, they should be as prepared as possible, but they're just human beings, right? Like, you know, you're going to make mistakes and, you know, it might take you 1, 2, 3 shifts or 1 period, 2 periods, but guess what? That can be 2, 3, 4 mistakes and it's back in your net. So yeah, the scoring could be higher.
There we go. And that's great segue, my friend. I thank you for backing me up and liking first period full game over here in game one. I like both. Over bifecta for me. I think we'll get unders again, overs early, unders late. That's the way I kind of see it in this series. Kind of like Edmonton Dallas was a little, well, actually it wasn't. First two games were under in that series. Then the games in Edmonton next two were over. But I think in game one here, you're talking about 7 days for Florida, 6 for Edmonton. That's 13 combined days where you have not played an intense physical playoff hockey game, and defensive coverages, I think, could be vulnerable as a result. When you're a step slow, because you've been off a long time, what happens? You take more penalties. What happens when there's more penalties? There's more power plays. There's ultimately more chance for goals. So that's the way, you know, I kind of see it here as far as the totals. So I like the first game over 1.5, first period over 5.5 as well in the full game. And I'll also be on Florida -135 individually in game one as well. Alex, your game one looks here, Oilers Panthers.
Yeah, we're kind of right in lockstep with that. I like Florida to win game one, so I took a shot with them to win. Florida to win game one and Florida to win the series. That parlay you can get at +145 or +150 if you shop around. Just makes, you know, sense to have that better price rather than laying anything when you don't really have to. If you like the game individually, I really don't think we see overtime in game one. I do think we will see a draw at some point in the series. I don't think it comes in game one. So if you like Florida, but you don't want to have anything tied to the series, I would say maybe look for the Panthers in regulation +115. And I also like the first period over. I like the first period over more than the full game over. Like I said, I just think that little bit of rust could be there early. And then, like I said, these two teams kind of scare me into the sense of where we could see things taper off. Like I said, later in the series, I definitely think we see unders. But I just want to get the feel of what's going to happen with the series. I think I can jump in and do something live after the first period with the totals potentially. But I'm just going to roll right now with the first period over 1.5. I laid $1.10 with that a couple of days ago.
All right. So you like the first period over 1.5 -110 more than anything here when it comes to game one with Oilers and Panthers. And then for player props, I'll just throw a few out there. It's basically a lot of the stuff that I said about the Edmonton Oilers against Dallas. You can bet Zach Hyman to score. No, obviously he can score because he's that good. You can bet Connor McDavid. You can bet Leon Draisaitl. But if you're looking for value and you're looking for better plus prices, look at Nugent Hopkins on the top line. Look at maybe a Dylan Holloway who has got speed. You know, that's what can get Florida a little bit. You straight line speed, and Dylan Holloway has a lot of that for Edmonton. He might have some value as far as his props go. In this series, you know, McLeod and Perry improved as the series went on. McLeod scored a big goal, I remember, for them to get them back in it in game four. Bouchard and Ekholm, don't be scared. A couple defensemen. I know Ladislav Schmid will appreciate that. You know, betting a couple defensemen to score goals like Ekholm.
They're both good in both, guys. Yeah.
Yep.
Especially Bouchbaum, guys. Yep. It's real. I wouldn't be blocking that stuff. And he's able to generate 4, 5, 6 shots a game too, you know, like it's pretty accurate and hard. So yeah, he's a pretty good pick.
No doubt. And then for Florida, like I said, I actually think if you look at their lineup, but Verhaeghe and Tkachuk are always worthy of consideration, no question. But Forsling, I would say, on the blue line. I like Forsling taking a shot with Forsling to score a goal even more than Ekblad or Montour now.
I do, too.
For the Florida Panthers. So I think if you're going to go with a defenseman, you go with it because he's jumped into the play. He scored a couple of times against the Rangers. Yep.
He is active. Yeah, I like that guy a lot.
Yeah, Gustav Forsling, the Gus Bus. Gustav Forsling, he's played great. And you know one of my favorite props in this game, and it's probably going to be that way all series, is Sam Bennett for the Florida Panthers. I mean, because I actually think he's got a puncher's chance to be one of the top goal scorers in the series, as I mentioned earlier. So again, I think he's definitely going to be always someone worth a look as well throughout this series. And by the way, I want to mention one last thing too about the overall matchup. Paul Maurice has been a dream to listen to. He has been phenomenal. He's just one of those coaches. He never has a bad press conference. He's had the fucking run of a lifetime with his press conferences here in the playoffs. Entertaining shit, funny shit. Hasn't he been great, Ladislav? He's been amazing. Oh,
I love it. And I know guys who play for him too. And I haven't heard really bad words, any bad stuff about him. So I enjoy his press conferences. Always kind of quick, witty, you know, funny. Smart guy. Yeah, it looks like all the boys from Florida bought into his system, and you know they're all on the same boat. So you know
he said something really good that I loved hearing him say. It everyone's going to talk about Barkov versus McDavid, right? That's a critical matchup, and it is. There's no question. You know, Barkov and the Florida defense, specifically Barkov's against McDavid's line, that's going to be huge in this series. But he said something that people are talking about, the flash and dash of Edmonton and the great offensive talents and their offense and our defense is in Florida's with Bobrovsky. But Paul Maurice also said, I think our offense is showing we're a little bit better than people think. And I know at the end of that Dallas series, Edmonton's defense and goaltending has shown that it's better than people think. So don't forget about that. Everyone's saying, well, offensive Edmonton versus defensive Florida. The offense of Florida is better than people think. The defense of Edmonton is better than people think. It's both sides of the puck are going to determine it.
Yeah, I like that you said that. I think Florida, I wouldn't think of them as a defensive team or by any stretch. They are so aggressive, in my opinion, in the O-zone. They are hunting the pucks. That's how they create that offense. They are so fast. This is going to be a great, exciting, fast series. I don't think it's going to be somebody's going to be trapping or defensive layer. They're just going to go after it. You know, that's my opinion. That's at least that's how Florida presented themselves throughout the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be changing anything.
I don't think so. They go straight line with their forecheck. Yeah. They are a straight line team. They're physical. They tenacious forecheck, physicality, cycle game. You know, that's what you get out of the Florida Panthers. They're not one of those you're going to make pretty passes across east to west. We're going to go north south, you know, at all times. And then they're just hard as fuck to win puck battles against. The ability for this Florida team to win one-on-one puck battles, and that's what's going to put Edmonton to the test, the will, you know, test of strength, you know, and those one-on-one battles in the corners, along the boards, the board battles, they're going to be so important this series. Florida's a master at winning those. And Edmonton has got to show that they can at least try to match them or at least win more of them than certainly the New York Rangers did in the Eastern Conference Final. We're going to wrap up the show in about 5 minutes. Ladislav Smead, you're awesome for hanging in there for as long as you have with us. But we are reaching the home stretch here of the show, no question. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button on the way out. And a reminder, patreon.com/iceguys, $10 per month. Make sure you sign up. Our daily sides, totals, and player props posted there. Goalie charts, totals charts, and more. patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And again, check out the Ice Guys store as well, iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, 2 days remaining to save 20% off of all the items over at the Ice Guys store. So go to my iceguys.myspreadshop.com. Click on the redeem button at the top of the page. Add all your items in your cart, and you'll have 20% taken off at checkout. That is iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
And a reminder about the schedule. No show Saturday because we've done series and game one preview here today. We'll be off Saturday. We will be back Monday. Monday is our next show. Next Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern, we'll preview game two. And it's funny. Guess who might be our guest Monday? Someone Ladislav Schmid knows very well, a former teammate of his, Marc-Antoine Pouliot. It looks like might be with us on Monday. Pouli, he was on with us last year during our off-season interviews. He joined us. He'll be on either Monday or Thursday next week. Yep.
Oh, well, say hi to him. I haven't spoken to him in years. Yeah. He plays in Europe, right? In Switzerland.
He does. Geneva Servette. There you go. No doubt. He will be on with us one of the shows next week. We're looking forward to that. All right. We'll be back in a minute to wrap up the show with Bargain Bin Special of the Night and Best Bets coming up right after we hear from our great sponsors. Back in just a moment. Boston Amp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. One of our great viewers and listeners, Ladislav, Rich H., says, Lottie mentioned he does a radio program. Is that true? Yeah, promote that if you do. Let me hear.
Yeah, it's on Sports 1440 Radio every Thursday morning in Edmonton. Yeah, we get sometimes we get some former teammates or former players. And yeah. Each day is different sports person, but I know Grant Fuhrer does it on one day, David Schlemko does it on another day. So there's a bunch of former players. It's a lot of fun, actually, nice. Talking about hockey, about the Oilers mainly, obviously. But yeah, it's funny. The only thing is I cannot swear there, which I already did a few times. Whoever knows me, they already laugh at out. How can you turn it off? Like, well,
this
I
is the benefits
really.
Of the Ice Guys show, man. Say what you want here. Yeah.
Yep.
I love it. I love it.
It can be go. Myself. Lottie Dottie, we like to party.
Right.
No doubt. All right. Bargain Bin Special of the Night. This will be for game one on Saturday night. Alex, we'll start with you. Where are you going in the Bargain Bin?
Yeah, we talked about it, and we've talked about how important he's been for Florida all season long, and he's been a fixture in this Bargain Bin Special at times as well. Gustav Forsling, go with him to get a goal. I've been seeing that FanDuel +750 for him to get a goal there. So I like him to jump into the rush a little bit, get the offense rolling, and I think I could definitely just see the first goal of this game. I might even take a shot with him possibly first goal, but I could definitely see where it's, you know, a shot from the point that nobody sees just all of a sudden finds its way in the back of the net. So that's something that definitely Gustav Forsling can provide. So Gustav Forsling, anytime goal +750. That's my Bargain Bin Special for game one of the cup final.
There you go. Saturday night, game one, Bargain Bin Special of the Night for Alex B. Smith. Gustav Forsling to score a goal +750. So what that means is $10 to win $75, $100 to win $750 on that if it cashes in. So and I like it because he has been active from the blue line throughout these playoffs. Lottie, I'll get a pick from you, but you can just throw a play. Do I get the feeling you might be interested in Evan Bouchard? Am I right?
I think it's a great pick, guys. Honestly, he gets tons of looks. He gets involved. He can jump up the play, or he can do it from the blue line. Obviously, he's got a great shot. He rarely misses a net or rarely hits the guy in front of him. He's got a great vision. He doesn't really take long to unload it as well. He's very, very good at walking the blue line or with the one timer. He's always ready to pound that puck. Yeah, I think it's a good option, Evan Bouchard.
We'll make that Ladislav Schmid's Bargain Bin Special of the Night for game one. Evan Bouchard and that Bouch bomb +500 at FanDuel for Evan Bouchard to find the back of the net in game one. And my bargain bin special of the night is going to be Sam Bennett. I've talked about him a million times, and I'm going to go back to the well. Sam Bennett, Florida. We've had this guy as a bargain bin special a couple of times already here in the playoffs, and one, I think, a couple of times, at least once, if not twice on him. We're going to go back to the well. Old reliable, Sam Bennett, Florida Panthers, plus 420 at FanDuel for my bargain bin special of the night for game one on Saturday. All right, best bets to wrap up the show. Alex, what do you like for your best bet?
Yeah, we go with that first period over in this game. Like I said, you know, layoff of 7 days for Florida, 6 days for Edmonton. I think there might be a little bit of rust there early in the contest, and I think that could lead to some goals. So we're only laying $1.10, $1.12. I've seen it at FanDuel. So anything $1.20 or better, we'll go with the first period over in game one with Florida and Edmonton. That's my best bet.
All right, there you go. That was us. I just heard it, now I forgot again. Is it Florida money line or the first period over?
First period over.
First period over. All right. Florida, Edmonton, Florida, first period over, 1.5, minus 110. Best bet for Alex B. Smith for game one. I think I know where Ladislav Schmid is going to go for his best bet. I think he's going to go the homer route. Am I right?
I'm not sure, man.
Going so even as someone cheering huge for the Oilers, even you're a little concerned about game one at least, yeah.
Well, I wish I would have a crystal ball, but I don't know. I think Florida, obviously, in the game one, they're going to come out flying. You know, the crowd's going to be behind them. They're back in the Stanley Cup Finals. I feel like I'm put on the spot, but I won't bet against Oilers, honestly. I won't. Not even in the game one. I think Oilers can steal the game one. I believe they can beat Florida. Right. And I think they could. I feel like everybody expects the Florida just blow them out of the building in the game one. I don't think that's going to be the case.
You know what? I don't think.
I would pick Oilers in the game one.
There you go. All right, we'll lock it in for Ladislav Schmid there. Edmonton plus 115. I don't think Florida's blowing out Edmonton either in game one. Just give me the win. Give me a 3-2. Give me a 4-3 win for the over. I'll be happy. I think it'll be a close game. I don't think, yeah. Look, even though I think there's situational edges for Florida in game one, I don't think it's going to be like a 5-6-1 type of thing. Not at all. But I do think they can end up on the winning end of it with the game one for the Florida Panthers. But that's not my best bet for game one. My best bet's the over. I'm going to go over 5.5, minus 115, minus 120. Like I said, these teams have been off for a long time. I think we're going to see some goals, higher scoring game because both teams are a little bit shaky on defense, a few more turnovers, and I think that's going to lead to more goals. So over 5.5 with Edmonton, Florida, minus 115 for my best bet for game one on Saturday. And that brings an end to our incredible show here, Stanley Cup Final Series and Game 1 Preview. And I got to give a round of applause here to Mr. Schmid. That was great, entertaining man, some great stories, great recollection of your career, great analysis of the actual series, and we certainly hope we can have you back down the road for sure.
Anytime, guys. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me, for sure.
No doubt. And I will say this, too, before we pull the plug on the show, Yekui as well. Thank you.
There you started off strong and you ended us ended the show very strong as well. Thanks.
I was gonna say usually it starts off well and then it's all downhill.
No, you are great, guys, both of you. Thanks for having me again.
Awesome stuff with Ladislav Schmid. We appreciate him joining us. A reminder, we're off till Monday. And I know Alex is going to take the time to get that rest in. And I know we're looking forward to a few days without doing the show. But we will be back, and we will be on every game day throughout the Stanley Cup Final, starting on Monday with Game 2. And then, of course, don't forget our BetCast as well. Game 3, Thursday night next week, Game 3. Ladislav Schmid will be there in the arena for Game 3. We'll be on the air for a live Stanley Cup Final BetCast next Thursday, June 13th. And it will be 8 p.m. Eastern for Game 3. That is and it's free for all, that BetCast. So, again, that's next Thursday, and we're looking forward to that. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days. Well, not right now it is, but normally it is. Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. And if you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. For Alex B. Smith and our special guest, Ladislav Schmid, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Wednesday night. Have a great weekend. Enjoy. Good luck with the Stanley Cup final. Enjoy game one and good luck on Saturday night. And we will be back with you on Monday next week for another edition of the Ice Guys.